Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Adults who are in here, teenagers, adults, kids, we're going to be looking at a variety of verses this morning. So if you want to grab an outline. If you didn't get an outline or a handout, make sure you get one because it'll be helpful for today. There's a picture on the back, a diagram actually, in color, believe it or not. And if you're watching online or you want to go back and look at it at home, you can always find it on our app in the photos section of the VGBC app. We've got all the sermon handouts that we give out on Sunday morning. They're located on there in case you lose one or you want to go back and look at another one. So last week, we kind of jumped headfirst into our series on the kingdom and justice. And so today, we want to kind of continue that. But before we get started this morning, let's kind of recap where we were at last week, okay? So last week, we talked about how the Bible uses the word justice. So how the Bible uses justice. And we said that if you were to look in your English Bible, you would find somewhere around a little bit over 130 usages of justice, around 15 or so of injustice, and about that same, maybe plus or minus a few of the word unjust or just. And so there's around 150, give or take, usages in the English Bible of the word justice. And we said if you look at all of those, there's basically three major categories that all of those verses fall into. And one of them is that the Bible uses the word justice to define God's character and God's action. Thus, God is just and does justice. We said it also describes God's followers. In other words, if you name the name of Christ, if you're a follower of God, you should be just and do justice. And we also saw that justice is easily perverted. In other words, people easily get justice wrong, right? And we saw last week we kind of ended our time by applying those usages to us. And we said, number one, that anytime we use the word justice, we're inviting God into the situation. Because God is just and does justice. And we would say, if we could add a qualifier on that, God does perfect justice and is perfectly just, right? So He's the definition of justice, and so whenever we talk about justice, whenever we say that's unjust or that is just, we're inviting Him into the situation, right? And then we said that God calls us to be just in our person as followers of Jesus. So today, we're going to look at the second half of the equation, which is what is justice? So the question we're trying to answer is, according to the Bible, how does the Bible define justice? Because remember, our goal is to come away with this from a biblical definition of what is justice. And so today, we want to take a big step forward in doing that, okay? And so what we need to do first is we need to go back to that large group of passages throughout the Bible that talk about justice. And one of the things I didn't tell you last week, because I wanted to save it for today, is that when you look at that large 150-ish group of passages in your Bible that use the word justice, what you will notice really quickly, very quickly, is that about a third of those, so that's roughly 40-ish plus or minus 40, around 40 verses, combine another word with justice. And that word is righteousness. Righteousness. So for example, in Psalm 33:5, it's on the screen in your handout, you will read this: He, that's God, loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. And you'll see in another psalm, in Psalm 103:6, you will see the Lord works righteousness. I think we read this last week. Works what? Justice for all the oppressed? No. Righteousness and justice for the oppressed. Right? So we've seen right there, really quickly, that righteousness and justice define God's character and God's actions. But not only that, we see in Genesis 18, 19 that God desires for His people to have not just justice, not just righteousness, but righteousness and justice. Now in this verse, God is talking about Abraham. And He says, "For I have chosen him," that's, "for God has chosen Abraham, that he may command his children," listen to the words, "and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord." How do you keep the way of the Lord? By doing what? Righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. So what's the idea here? That God desires Abraham to do justice, to do righteousness, to do righteousness and justice. All right? And so we see this connection, like I said, about a third of the times of all of the usages in the Bible that occur, that justice occurs, about a third of them, righteousness, that phrase, righteousness and justice is put together. Now that, look at me. Listen, when I'm reading my Bible and I see a phrase such as this over and over that comes up, you know what it reminds me of? My pastors and Warner Robins said, if the Bible says something once, it's important. If the Bible says something twice, it's really important. And if the Bible says something more than twice, it's really, really important. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, what are we to gain, or what is the Bible, or what are the authors of the Bible trying to tell us by putting righteousness and justice together in that connecting phrase over and over and over and over and over? And there's two things we need to look at in order to examine the phrase. The first, this is going to sound silly, okay? But hang on. You're going to think, oh my gosh, really? But just trust me, okay? The first thing you got to realize is that word "and." I've told our Wednesday morning group, if you don't come on Wednesday mornings and you're available, you should really come on Wednesday mornings to Bible study. We have a phenomenal time in prayer meeting and Bible study. And there's one thing that I've told them in there, and they looked at me a little cross-eyed. And I said, I promise it works. When I read the Bible, you know what I'm reading? Well, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for verbs and conjunctions. You want to know why? Because verbs give you action and conjunctions tell you who the change in subject and the change in person. Do y'all remember the little ditty you learned in school? Holly's already singing it. She's teacher. Conjunction, junction, what's your... Some of y'all learned it and some of y'all didn't. All right? So that's what you should always see. When you see the word "and," "but," "however," "also," "or," "therefore," "however," you should always say, what is that word trying to tell me? And here in this set of Bible passages, around 40 times, it is righteousness and justice. What's that word "and" trying to tell us? It is trying to tell you and me that from a biblical perspective, the Bible holds righteousness and justice on equal ground, and that they are the same and have the similar essence and are almost identical. In fact, from a biblical perspective, you could switch the two words and you wouldn't really lose that much. What it means is that just as much as God calls us to do righteousness, He calls us to do justice. See, we focus, let's be honest, we focus a lot of times in the church on the righteousness aspect and not on the justice aspect. But according to Scripture, they're both on equal footing. And you lose nothing by saying that Abraham's called to do justice, or he's called to do righteousness. Or you can flip-flop them and say justice and righteousness, or righteousness and justice. They mean similar things. They're in the same area of meaning. See, for example, if Miss Kathy, go back to Psalm 33:5. Go back to that one. What if it has said this? This is the verse. He loves righteousness and justice. He loves righteousness or justice. That means something different, doesn't it? Because He loves one or the other? What if he just said, he loves righteousness, but justice? Remember, everything you say before the but is contradicted by what's after it? You know that little saying? So, well, he loves right, but he really loves justice. That's what that would mean. What if you put however or also? And means they're both the same, right? If you put another conjunction in there, it changes the meaning. And so for 40 times, it's righteousness and justice. That means they're synonymous, they're similar, they almost mean the same thing. Now, let's talk about what each word means, because I'm going to show you that they're two sides of the same coin. Let's look at righteousness first. The word righteousness in both the Old Testament and the New Testament means in to be in right standing. The most base level definition means to be in right standing with God. If you ever read righteousness in the Bible at any point, understand it to mean in right standing with God. Now, but we can break that down a little bit further here this morning, right? We can break that down a little bit further because it feathers out, the Bible feathers that out into two categories. The first category is being right, is being right. So it sometimes, given the context of the Bible, when it uses the word righteousness, it means that we are to be right. And the Bible tells you and I how to be right, correct? It says that we are right, we become right, we be right, if I can use that as in a great English, but it works for today. We can be right through Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the whole Easter story, right? The whole Easter story is about how you and I were wrong, and we were bad, and we were on our way to hell in sin, and that God conquered all of that for us, right? Come on, y'all, look, a little slow. Let's get it going. Thank you. Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate that. Right? You get a gold star. So, right, we are made right. Therefore, we can become right. All right? Listen, we are made right. Therefore, we can become right. So, we can be right through Jesus. Okay? But there's another vein in which the Bible talks about rightness in relationship to God. Not only about being right on the inside, but about doing right on the outside. In other words, if you're right on the inside, if you're right in relationship with the Lord, what should you do on the outside? Things that are right. Have you ever asked your question, how did Jesus always do the right thing? If you haven't, it's a great question. How did Jesus always say the right thing when people were being ugly to him? Ooh. You know, one time I just really wish Jesus would have let loose on them. You know, those religious people who were being snobby and being mean and hateful to Jesus. One time, don't you just wish he'd have cut loose on them? Because it made me feel a little better when I want to. Right? But he didn't. He always said the right thing. You want to know how he did that? Because he was right on the inside. Jesus tells the disciples and the crowd who's listening, it's not what goes into the body that defiles the person, it's what? It's what comes out. Right? And what comes out of us oftentimes shows what's inside of us. And the Bible says that being right with God on the inside produces doing right on the outside. So if you want to understand righteousness in the Bible, really quickly, I'll kind of boil it all down. Being right with God, doing right as God would do. Being right with God, doing right as God would do. Now that last little part's the significant part, right? Because a lot of us times we want to do right as we define right, correct? Sometimes that gets us into trouble. Righteousness. All right, here we go. Last time. Being right with God, doing right as God would do. All right. Now remember, that's the first half of the coin because it's righteousness and justice. So what's justice mean? In both the Old and the New Testaments, you have a very similar base definition for justice. It means treating people with equality, giving people their rights, and acquitting or punishing every person based on the merits of the particular case. One author put it this way: justice is when all God's creatures receive what is due to them. And another said it this way: justice is the moral standard by which God measures human conduct. Thus, justice is about punishing wrongdoers, acquitting the innocent, and caring for the victims of injustice. We could maybe even say it in an even easier way. Justice, according to the Bible, is, listen to me, this is going to be crucial, making things right as God defines them. Listen to me again. Justice, according to the Bible, is making things right as God defines them. So remember, all right, so let's put the two together. Righteousness is being right and doing right as God defines them. And justice is making things right as God defines them. One author, Tim Keller, put it this way. He said, if everybody would do righteousness, nobody would need justice. Right? Because if we were all right on the inside and we all did right every time, there would be no need for justice. But because we live in a sin-filled world where not everybody is right or does right, we have to make things right. Can I give you an example? Let me give you an example to maybe kind of fill in some of the fuzzy spots. When I was about 17, maybe 18, it's a little fuzzy on the year. I was a junior or senior in high school. Let's put it that way. It was the dead of summer. It was in July. It was about 100 degrees. And me and my buddy had been laying pine straw all morning long. Now, pine straw laying is not the most difficult job in the world. But when it's 100 degrees with 100% humidity, it becomes a burden, right? And so it was like, it was after lunch. I don't even think we ate lunch that day because we were like, bleh. We just needed a Gatorade or Powerade. And so we went to the pine straw place because we weren't finished. We ran out of pine straw. And so my truck, I had a single cab, long bed, red Chevrolet truck. And if you've never had a long bed truck, you can carry a whole lot more pine straw in it, which means you have to put out a whole lot more pine straw. And so we had my truck filled up with pine straw, except for this little part right behind the driver's seat so I could look back. Because see, I had a rear view mirror that sometimes didn't stay up. It would like just fall down. I'd fix it two or three times and it would just fall down. And so me and my buddy, I can take you to the quickie store. I don't think it's changed since maybe a little bit since that day. And we went in the quickie store and I was parked at an angle because I whipped in this way and parked at an angle. The quickie store is right here and I pulled in this way. And we got in and we got two big Gatorades. And I think before I got in the truck, I had already downed one. There was nobody else in the parking lot except for a small Saturn car who was on the other side of the gas pumps. The other side, keep that in mind for this story, the other side, and on the parking lot was in, you could have put three 18-wheelers on their side of the parking lot. Nobody else is there. We get in my truck, what do I do? No backup cameras, kids. We didn't have those in those days. And so I look back, the car is parked at the gas pump. I proceed to put my truck in reverse and back that sucker up. And then all of a sudden I hear, boom! Well, what in the crap? There's nobody back there. Do you want to know what that little Saturn car driven by that young 17-year-old lady did? Instead of using the 3 acres she had on her side of the gas pump, she decided to whip around as I was backing up. And I don't know if you know this about Saturns, they don't dent. They crack. Because I hit her car
right in the passenger door, right at the right on the door side of the split, and it there was no dent, but there was a crack. And I got out, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" "I was turning around in the parking spot." "There's three 18-wheelers on your side." "Well, I had to go that way." "You do that, not this." So I'm like, oh. So I get on the phone. I call my mom. Mom's like, "Well, we're not filing the insurance. You're paying for it." And I'm like, "It wasn't my fault." "What'd you do?" "Back in." "It is your fault." "It's not my fault." So the girl's like, "I'm going to call my dad." "Okay. He's a sheriff's deputy." So you know what I did for the next 4 weeks and $1,000? I made things right. Begrudgingly, but I made things right. See, if I would have done right, guess what? I wouldn't have had to make things right. But because I didn't do right, I had to make things right. And that's what justice is. It is making things right when they're not right to begin with. And sometimes that involves you and me making things right that we've made wrong. And sometimes we didn't really have anything. Like, I still contest to this day, yeah, I know the law, and I know I backed into her, but it wasn't my fault. There's nobody else in the parking lot. She should have went the other way. Did she not see the big long bed red truck backing up, and yet she continued to go forward? But guess what? Who had to make things right? I did. Right? So, begrudgingly, $1,000 I paid her after I laid sod and dug irrigation and laid more pine straw for 4 weeks in July. 4 weeks in July. $1,000. Making things right. Now, did it hurt me in the long run? No. Was it the right thing to do? Absolutely. Should I do it over? If I had to do it over again, would I do it over again? Probably, yeah. Would I have been begrudgingly? Probably so. But it's about making things right. Let me put it to you in an even more heightened sense. Did God have to make things right between us and Himself? No. He didn't have to do it, but He did it because He loved you and He loved me. And the only way that we could be right with Him is if He made things right between us two. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. And so God calls us to make things right. Right, so you need to remember this. Like, if you're one of those that stuffs outlines in your Bible, stuff this one in it, because we're going to need it in a couple weeks when we look at social justice and talk about all of that. Because the biblical definition of justice is making things right as defined by God. Now, quickly, I want to look at that definition really, really quickly, and then we'll get to some application. Here's the thing. The key part of that definition is not the making right part. It's the as defined by God part. Correct? Because listen to me. History is replete with examples of people making things right as they define right. The biblical example of this is the book of Judges. People try to make things right all throughout the book of Judges, and it doesn't end well. In fact, probably one of the worst lines, the saddest lines in the entire Old Testament, if not the entire Bible, is the last line of the book of Judges. There's no king in Israel, and everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Which sounds good until your right in your own eyes doesn't match up with your neighbor's own right in his own eyes, and he wants to burn your house down because it's right in his eyes, and you want to burn their house down because it's right in your eyes, and then both of you are left homeless. Right? You don't even need ancient history. Modern history is replete with examples of people who tried to make things right in their own eyes. Let's list a few. Hitler, Holocaust. He's trying to make things right in his own eyes. Stalin, killing his fellow Russians, making things right in his own eyes. Mao, Cultural Revolution, making things right in his own ideas. Rwandan genocide, hacking people with machetes. Because one's Hutu and one's the other one, right? The other group. Making things right in their Tutsis. That's it. Hutu and Tutsis.
making things right in their own eyes. Slavery, making things right in their own eyes. History is replete with examples of people who made things right, but did it in their own eyes. And that's not biblical justice. Biblical justice is making things right in God's eyes. And on your outline, you've got a little chart there. It's on the right-hand side. On the right-hand side, you've got a chart. And if you take those same 150-ish verses in the Bible that talk about righteousness and justice and all this kind of stuff, you will see that there's some common themes that keep coming up about how injustice happens. It's things like partiality. When you're making a judgment, you like this person over that person, and so you judge in favor of this person because they're your friend. That's showing partiality, not the merits of the case. Another one is something like bearing false witness. That is a type of injustice because you're not telling the truth. So on one side, you've got all of this. You've got this list in your handout of things that are in these verses that talk about justice in the Bible that are commonalities of how injustice can happen in the world. And on your right, on the right hand column, you have a list of how you can, what justice or what making things right actually looks like. So it's like turning down bribes, giving justice to everyone regardless of their socioeconomic status or their class, so to speak. So the Bible gives us some examples of what injustice is and then what justice looks like. But here's the final thing you need to know about our definition of justice is making things right as defined by God. And I don't want just to scare you, but I want you to just hear me out. Each of these things that's on your table, and there's other examples, story examples from the Bible, all of those occur in a social environment. None of these examples of justice occur out in space somewhere in the nebulous world. They're not just here's my point. They're not just intellectual ideas, but they're real things done with people in relationship with each other. Justice, in some sense, is a relational endeavor, right? Because I did. Let me put it to you this, or let me say it this way. To go back to my illustration of the girl that I hit. Who did I do the injustice to? The young lady. Who did I owe justice to? Some cosmic force up in the clouds? No. To her. I did an injustice to her, and therefore I owed her justice. Not some nebulous force or some statistical group or some arbitrary breakdown of people. Justice is a relational thing between people. Not nebulous up in the clouds, not arbitrary group making and all of this stuff. It's with real people, just like you and I sitting in here today. That's justice, according to the Bible. All right, so Miss Kathy, if you can throw up our little graphic, if you want to flip over your outline, if you got it, this is the graphic that I came up with. I'm a visual learner, and so I love a good graphic. And so if you want to know where justice occurs in the Bible, it's the correlation or the crossing of these four factors. How justice is used in the Bible, it describes God's character, it defines His people, it's easily perverted, justice is equal to righteousness. It occurs in a social environment. You can't just intellectually do justice. That's not what it means. And then the definition is making things right as defined by God. And so the cross-section of all of those four areas, that is justice according to the Bible. Now, the next time we're together, don't forget Pastor Jacob's preaching next week. The next time we get together, we're going to look at social justice, which is not what I'm talking about when I say justice according to the Bible is applied socially. Social justice is a completely different world view. Now, if you've read anything lately on the news or on Yahoo or on any other MSNBC, Fox News, you've heard about social justice. You've heard about critical race theory. You've heard about this and that and all that. We're going to talk all about that in the coming weeks. And at the end, we're going to ask, is that biblical justice? Because remember, anytime someone brings justice into the conversation, they are bringing God into the conversation. And God is a God of justice. So if all the people in culture, I want you got to get this. If all the people in culture who are saying social justice, critical justice, justice here, justice there, if they're correct that that's really justice as God defines justice, then we should be standing right beside them. Because do you want to be on the wrong side of God? I sure don't. I don't want to be the person who says, oh, that's not justice, and God is saying, oh, yes, it is. So the next time we're back together, we're going to examine all of that. It may take us a couple Sundays to get through it, but we're going to look at that. But according to the Bible, this is biblical justice. It's the cross-section of these four factors. And when they cross, that's where justice, according to the Bible, occurs.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.